Welcome to Hagmann. It is Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. I'm going to thank everyone for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. I don't say thank you far enough. And I do thank everyone who does tune in, who listens and watches this show. You know, I was going through old files, and it is so difficult for me to comprehend the fact that we've been doing this, Well, 2002 to be technically accurate, then 03, not so much, and then 04, hitting it hard. So about 22 years doing this. Now, obviously, we've seen a lot of people come and go over those 22 years. We have seen a lot of people come and stay. We've seen a lot of people just go. And, you know, it is what it is. And there's a lot, just to open this up in this fashion. When I look at the history of this platform, we have gone through so many ups and downs, so many peaks and valleys, so many trials and personal tribulations and professional trials and tribulations, if you will, using that word very judiciously. And it's been a hell of a ride. It really has. From my appearance back, my goodness, on Fox News to CBC out of Canada. That was like 60 minutes, CBC program in Canada. That was like an hour long broadcast. Wow. I saw that. And, I can't repost that. I can't post it at all because it's obviously copywritten, but very interesting. Man, I was a lot younger and took a lot more room. A lot younger for sure. Absolutely. So Randy Taylor is with me right now, and, we'll bring him on. But here's the thing. Look, folks, at this point right now, all I care about is the truth without restraint. I'm not going to filter anything. I have no interest in filtering out much, all right? I just care about the truth, and I care about the trajectory of our country. Very concerned about that, because unlike some out there, people are not thinking about their children, their grandchildren, what kind of life they're going to have. By the same token, they're not as familiar, or they did not live through history, certain parts of history. For example, the 1979 Iranian hostage crisis, which should have never been a crisis. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about that. The Algiers Accord was the first compromise with Iran, because right now, obviously, we're great hostilities right now with Iran. The first compromise was the Algiers Accords. How many people in the chat, because we have a limited chat right now, a limited audience, how many people are familiar with the Algiers Accords? Anyone? All right. The other thing, too, the rise of anti-Semitism. Now, I understand 100% about the nation state of Israel. I understand 100% that they, for example, they're the largest, I completely understand about our position as a nation with Israel, and I completely understand about foreign entanglements. I 100% do. I also understand that there is a movement. I don't know how else to describe this, but a movement out there on social media that has caught numerous influencers, and they are engaged in going after the Jewish people. All right, not the nation state of Israel, the Jewish people. That's a really dangerous road to go down. And I saw this very spirited discussion and I didn't comment. I stayed out of it, but I saw this very, very spirited discussion on X. Let me ask the chat, folks. The yellow Jewish star. Define anti-Semitism? Okay. I suppose we have to be accurate, right? I'll tell you what. Randy Taylor, come on. Put a pin in that for a second. Okay, come on board. And because there are a couple things here I want to go back in history and show everybody. Because I think there's just a lot of misinformation out there. But Randy Taylor, over the weekend, we saw the inevitable happen. When I say inevitable, look, it was going to happen. The problem is it didn't happen 40 some years ago with the Iranian hostage situation crisis. It needn't have been a crisis, but it didn't happen then. Right now, we saw the breakout of hostilities. And again, understand this. I am not saying that we should fight Israel's wars. I'm not saying that we should do any of that. All I'm saying is we have to take care of our own. But what does that look like? Does that look like allowing someone or allowing a nation state like Iran, the vassal state of really China and Russia? People saying, oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, okay, here you go. The Iranians have been long supplied by Russia and China. Here you go. So my question is this. Does the current offensive, does this current operation fit in with our national security goals? That's my question to you. Go ahead and give a monologue on this, because I went through a lot of material back right around and immediately following post 9/11. And there was a lot of stuff out there, about Iran. And then, of course, you had all the crap that was being posted, all the stuff that, you can't believe, okay? And then the stuff that was drowned out because of the crap that you shouldn't believe about, the threat and all that. But now the threat was, wow. So, Randy Taylor, take it away and give your monologue, if you will, about the propriety of the current operation. Or impropriety.
Go ahead. Here's how I see it. In February, U.S. negotiators met with Iranian negotiators. This is this February, last month. Okay. Now, up to this point, bear in mind, nobody thought Iran had much of anything. Okay. We knew they were working on these things. But the typical thing, Doug and I said years and years ago, Iran already had some nuclear weapons. I always believed that. And I'm going to say 10 or 20 years ago. The reason I say that, they've had the technology for a long time because North Korea sold it all. Okay. I found a bunch of PDFs way back when explaining all of this. And they were sharing information back then. And I found these in a file repository in Asia. All right. I turned these over to the U.S. government. What's going on right now, you're hearing everybody say, well, we went in there and bombed last year and supposedly had destroyed everything. And so why are we going in there now? In February, our negotiators met with their negotiators. Okay. And I'm going to read something to you. This is from last month. This is a gentleman named Steve Wyckoff. Yep. And let me say this, because I forgot this small detail. In that first meeting, that both the Iranian negotiators said to us directly, with you, no shame that they controlled 460 kilograms of 60%, and they're aware that they could make 11 nuclear bombs. They made that statement in that meeting, the Iranian negotiators. Given that information, what do you think we're supposed to do? Now, this is a state that ever since 1979 has been practicing and living for the day that they can kill the great Satan and the little Satan. which is the United States and Israel. There, the Ayatollah's entire doctrine, okay, about the 12th Imam, all of it. I can explain it to you if you want me to, okay? Their sole existence and purpose on this earth, this is their belief, is to destroy the United States and Israel. That's it, nothing else. Now, finding out that now they have the capability and we had misjudged them and our intelligence wasn't up to date, that they had enough material to make 11 weapons. Well, let me tell you what a weapon is. It's called a nuclear missile, not a rocket. That, okay, we're talking about a guided missile. And our fear is that they can have a guided missile that can hit North American cities. Stop and think about that. You've known all these years, but we've always been able to hold them at bay, hold them at bay, hold them at bay until Iraq, Barack Hussein Obama got involved. Okay, and that's a whole other show right there. But what happened in February changed everything. I've got it in writing. This is well sourced. That changed everything. Okay, because the threat analysis changed. You went from, yeah, they could maybe in a year it happened. A year is a long time. To all of a sudden that they're bragging in the meeting that they've got the materials. And the decision was made to take them out. That's fact. So all these little clowns on social media really don't know what they're talking about.
The 12th Imam prophecy. I get that. So we're talking about this as reasonable adults, okay? Yeah. And there are a few stipulations, I think, as if we were in a court of law. I think we have to make a couple of stipulations. In the chat, you asked, what is anti-Semitism? By definition, anti-Semitism is a prejudice or a bias or a hostility or discrimination against Jews as a religious group or an ethnic or racial group, if you want to expand that definition. Now, the Holocaust Remembrance Alliance has a definition, and I think they go a little bit broad on that, but they define anti-Semitism as a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Now, you notice that nothing was said about Israel, about this, the nation, about the nation state, about the location, the biblical idea of Israel. We're talking simply about Jews. Now, I think we can also stipulate, and Randy Taylor, come on board, and let's go further in this. As a religion, is Judaism not, and there really is no such thing as Judeo-Christian, although I understand that sentiment, but let's be really, really precise with words here. Judaism. Where was I going with that? Okay, as a religion, okay. Would you recognize Judaism as a religion, correct? A legitimate religion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's go one step further. Would you recognize Islam as a religion?
No, sir. I recognize.
State your case.
All right, I recognize it as a political system that cloaks itself as a religion because the religion, the religious aspect affords them protections that otherwise they wouldn't get. That's my belief about Islam. Because Islam is all-encompassing. It goes past religion. It tells them politically how to act, react, You know what I'm saying? It's all encompassing.
Right. Now, I'll say this.
It tells you how to have sex with your wife. I mean, it's everything.
Oh, it goes far beyond that. I was listening to some audio of IQ. Folks who have been with us this so long, 25 years. Wow. And this is all we have to show for it. But do you remember IQ Al Razzouli? Remember him as a guest? Whoa. Okay.
How many years ago is that?
What's that?
How many years ago is that?
That was mid-teens, early, like 2010 to mid-teens. Okay. However, so you are correct. In my personal opinion, based on years of research, and understand my qualifications, I have no qualification. I am not a historian. I'm not a religious expert. I'm none of that. All right. So just to be clear, but in my personal observation, Judaism and the Jews as a religious sect of people. I mean, Judaism is definitely a religion. Islam, I agree with you. Islam is not structured as a normal or as a religion, period. It is a political system with a religious exemption wrapped around it. Okay, now, some people might say, screw you, okay? Well, okay, so be it. But there it is. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll take them on.
All right. So, okay. So now, again, because I have a what I'm watching here is a really knockdown, drag out psyop. And I'm telling you, this is honest to goodness, folks, what we're seeing over the issue of being for Israel or on the side of Israel and being on totally against Israel. What we're seeing, I believe, at its core is a psyop, is a psychological operation. For what purpose? What purpose would that serve to have something like that? Like for a psyop to be created and rolled out and to get these this polarization among even conservative influencers. What would be that? Folks, you guys are intelligent. What's the goal here? What's the goal of Candace Owens versus everyone else, or Candace and whoever, or anti-Candace? It doesn't matter.
Strategy, attention.
That's right. Okay, exactly. We have to have a discussion about this because while people are so friggin' dug in, and folks, please, I'm speaking from the heart.
We're not united right now.
No, not at all. This is a programmed cultural divide, just like the trans movement, just like the homosexual movement. Just this is a planned movement to divide the culture that is that's sewn into the American fabric. This is my assessment. Okay, from I am certified. Okay, so I can speak on this in terms of behavioral, nonverbal and behavioral analysis and profile. Okay, so I would say that this benefits tremendously a communist agenda. 100%. This also benefits the Islamic agenda. Now, Eric the Tech, I did send you in about that too. I did send you a graphic in one of your emails, Randy Taylor from as Archangel. And folks in the Intel community that are tuning into this, you
saw me.
Archangel.
Yep.
There he is.
Finally, I have a face with it. There were so few people that knew.
Yeah, allow me to get the duck, okay, and get out of the way because,
it was all good, man. We had, you know what, Doug and I had connections you wouldn't believe. I could pick up the phone and have a nightclub emptied out because of a bomb threat. I mean, we were in it. we were in it.
Actually, I think that did happen.
Yes, we did empty a bar one night in Michigan.
It was correct in real time.
And we sat there and watched it on video, all the cameras in the bar. I mean, within 7 or 8 minutes, we had police, we had sheriff's department, we had the state police, we had the FBI, we had ATF, because it was near a university. It was a bomb threat. And I picked it up online. And coincidentally, a week before, they had heard a bomb threat about the very same nightclub. So we shut that puppy down in literally minutes. It was amazing to see.
You know what, RT? That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Because folks understand this, a poster, I believe. Now, this is on an password protected Arabic language or Farsi or whatever web internet forum, and it was a threat to this particular large, very large, I would say university nightclub, if you will.
Where the kids hung out in Grand Rapids.
Right. And it was packed. And this is a big piece of real estate. And Randy Taylor, I'm going to make this time up, okay, because I don't have the whole chronology in front of me, but I'll say 9 p.m. Eastern time. Comes across this posting, this obscure posting, and it's a threat against, there's going to be a bomb that's going to go off, again, using this time as a kind of an example, at 9:45, okay? And he finds it at 9 o'clock. He's on the phone with me at 9:01, and we're on the phone at 9:02. And there, from our contacts, collective contacts, they're on the phone to
back and watch.
Holy crap. I mean, they're on the phone.
Exactly what he said, to back and watch.
Yeah, that's exactly. So I've got a phone up, and this is back when, you know, you got a corded phone. And so, the link or the posting also had a link to, if correct me if I'm wrong, had a link to the surveillance cameras.
That's the camera system.
Yeah, even back then they were accessible online. Okay,
that's why we were able to watch all of this unfold. Not because the feds gave it to us.
Right,
jihadists had it online. They were going to watch this massacre.
Right,
live.
So. Yes. So by, well, I'll say by 9:25, I'll say 9:30. Okay. Because the number of agencies that responded, to this particular threat, and for us to watch this bar, this nightclub being emptied out by these people, and they meant business. And I'll tell you something, there were some unhappy patrons in there as well as an unhappy bar owner and people. However, they cleaned this place out. Okay,
it was actionable intelligence,
100%. So that's the level upon or under which we are at which we operated. So just so everyone knows, and that also went to the Green Zone, if you remember that, in Iraq. It also went to other operating basis, and I found some photographs from the soldiers that sent us. In fact, I don't think I sent it. I may have uploaded it, but I'm not sure. Holding a sign, one just great, two soldiers holding a cardboard sign that said thank you. I'll just leave it at that. But you know, big smiles saying thank you to us. Okay, so that's that. I said that to establish, I guess, to build our resume, to show you or to explain to you at the level at which we operate.
Yeah, we weren't just sending some blind email in and hoping somebody read it. We had the phone numbers. I had the cell phone numbers. We had everything to get a hold of. You wouldn't believe the people, the FBI. We had people in the Treasury Department, DHS, and all over in DHS. We had tons of DOD contractors we worked with.
Yep.
And DOD contractors are scattered all throughout the administration. We knew.
They may not be the best. I'll tell you what, the DOD contractors,
A lot of them, the ones we worked with were good. And it was, honestly, most of them I met through our friend in the CIA.
Right.
And if he said to work with them, then they were cool to work with.
One of the photographs, I did send you, we can't show it, but I'll just tell you on air, and I was going to tell you off air. One of the photographs has certain people from 2009, me and a couple of other guests of yours. Okay. And it was like a CIA table. Right? So anyway, yeah. So to explain that, okay, so now let's continue with this, because again, there is a psychological operation that is so critical. I mean, it is grabbing everyone, and is everyone is being made to choose sides in this.
And everybody's really false argument. To it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, oh man, getting sucked into this, it to me serves no legitimate purpose. Now, to the extent that we are entangled right now with Iran, Randy Taylor, although you did, I'm going to have you again state your case for the fact that we struck Iran, the U.S., not Israel. I mean, although Israel, but not, I mean, unilaterally, I think we would have done this anyway. We struck Iran. So I'm going to have you state your case for that again.
Okay.
But I want to back up a little bit, because the anti-Semitism, just so people understand this, and I don't know how many people know this, I'm going to ask the chat, what's the earliest, and no fair looking this up, because we didn't have that luxury. What is the earliest case or earliest use of designating the Jewish religious population with a badge, star, armband? What is the earliest record of that? Okay, I'm going to watch the chat now, and I want to, in Rumble, folks, you can subscribe to us on Rumble. Join the chat, and I'm going to see if you all know this. let's see. All right. Let's see. I'm not sure. I guess they're having a whole different discussion than we're having. All right, I'll just tell you when it is.
A little different discussion.
Yeah. The earliest documented use. Now, understand this. You know the yellow stars of David to depict the Jews that you see in World War II films and the Holocaust and all of this. You know what the first time that was used? It was used to identify Jews by the Muslims under Caliph Umar II in the early 8th century. Okay? Now think about that. You're talking like 717 to 720. That's the earliest use to designate this religious group with a star, with an armband, with a badge, with this yellow, hey, these are Jews. These are less than we are, less than these people are worthless.
With hatred.
Hatred, right. It was, they were vestments that were given to that were mandated that the Jews wore. That expanded to the Christian population under that same caliph in the Middle East. So you, initially it was the Jews, then it was the Christians, and then it was all non-Muslims, known as Dhimmis or Zimmis, depending on your pronunciation of that word. That was the European, Western European, and also Middle Eastern caliphate. So the Muslim rulers imposed this mark, this vestment, this branding of the Jews and Christians back 700 to 800 AD. So it didn't start in World War II. It was back then. So the reason I brought this up is because of this anti-Semitism and the danger, I believe, the danger that we're all flirting with erroneously, okay, and falling for a psychological operation that would serve only to divide us culturally, politically, especially politically, and also spiritually. Okay, now, does that mean, for example, that I side with Israel? No, no, no. I'm just talking about
Where did the hatred come from?
Go ahead. Please help me out.
Because I think a lot of that, too, and if you ask me, was the jealousy because God had said that.
God said what?
That automatically brought hatred from others. That's just what I thought. And I understand that because that's how the human mind works. You know, if someone is favored over you, you know, then you're obviously, you feel jolted, you feel mistreated, you feel unfairly.
Okay, so look, I'm not a fan of what's going on right now in terms of the division. I'm not a fan of this anti-Israel because, look, I understand and I certainly agree that we should not necessarily fight Israel's wars, okay? The difference in Randy Taylor and Eric the Tech, if you can put up the prophecy of the 12th Imam, understand there's two different sects of Islam. Primarily, there's the Shiite sect or Shia and the Sunni. You've got the Sunnis south of Saudi Arabia. And then you've got the Shias in Iran and in that bowl, if you will, of the cup up north. The Sunnis believe in the prophecy of the 12th Imam, and every posting that I have seen over the last week or since the bombing began has been to push this specific prophecy. Now, I'm talking about the postings I've seen by the Islamic component. There it is, the 12th or the hidden Imam. And you remember, folks, Steve Quayle talking about this. Iran's use of the apocalypse. Now, this particular graphic, I don't know who did this. I just happened to see this under the when I was cruising for images. I think that's pretty accurate. Go ahead. I mean, what's your thought on this? Because the leadership, RT, in Iran has been preparing. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the leadership, which is a theocracy.
There you go. That's something else you need to separate as far as Iran. The people in Iran are decent people. The leadership,
right?
Those are nuts.
So go ahead and keep that up.
They have this belief, and their belief in their very existence is that their job on this planet is to destroy the great Satan, okay, and little Satan, which is the United States and Israel. That's the reason they're alive.
Correct. And so, and keep that up because this to me is so important. And that way the algorithm will grab it. But
that the Imam will not return until all these are destroyed.
Correct.
Think about that. That's like saying to us,
yeah,
Jesus is not coming back to earth until you've destroyed Bangladesh.
Or convert everyone on everyone there to Islam or Christianity in your
and in the process convert or die.
Right, right.
And this is considered even radical among Muslims. That's the weird part. This is crazy. These people are crazy.
Right.
I can't stress that enough.
So this is the driving philosophy. What you're looking at on the screen is the driving philosophy behind the destruction of the West. Okay, this Iran is a theological dictatorship, right? I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Okay. When I say theological in the loosest sense, it's a political dictatorship disguised as a religion. And of course, that then you would use the term theology. But I suppose the ideological driver could be the theology of this 12th Imam. I think that would be accurate to say, but this is what's driving all of this. You cannot reason with this.
impossible.
So, okay. All right. So there's that.
And this Ayatollah that's in charge, whoever the supreme leader that's in charge, is making the decisions for the 12th Iman until his return.
That's right. That's like the UN setting a
us speaking on behalf of Jesus.
Right. Or the UN in absolute real terms, the UN having a place for Satan, which you know that they have a place at the UN for Satan. Okay. Sure. Okay. So that way, I mean, hey, it is what it is. So you are already dealing with a psychologically a very motivated enemy
with no concept of time.
Precisely. That's the other thing too. It could take a thousand, because we in the West, hey, everything, it's got to happen right now, or you know, it's worthless.
They'll wait years, decades. They'll just wait.
Generations.
Absolutely right.
All right. So, just to be clear, again, I'm so emphatic about this, because if you look, folks, if you get caught up in that argument on social media or with your friends or with listening to various podcasters or whatever, I guess that's your business. You go ahead and do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not falling for that, because that's just a fool's errand. I believe that is intellectually dishonest. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the people who do that are intellectually bankrupt in terms of their knowledge and of their history, and also their understanding.
They don't know their history.
Right.
You ask any of these influencers about the 12 Iman, they don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
That's the scary part. Malls are running all around the world. Canada, I listen to the Canadians up here slamming President Trump. You know what? These kids have no idea what they're talking about. President Trump is trying to keep a ballistic missile from landing in Toronto.
Or New York or San Francisco. Or, I mean, name the city.
You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
These kids have no idea.
Right.
They don't know. You know, they have their little version of Islam that they ran into at university, and that's all they understand. They don't understand this version. They don't even know it exists.
And that's, to me, that is so important for people to really make that distinction. Exactly who is our enemy? Who are we fighting? And why? The why is should be self-evident. The fact is, hey, you know what? They said they're building bombs. And as a matter of fact, like you said earlier about the bombs, mm-hmm. and they intend to use it to destroy the United States, not Israel. They'll get to Israel, but destroy the U.S.
Because we're protecting Israel, in their opinion, and we are the great Satan. And people don't understand. This is why they get out of bed in the morning.
That's their motivation. That's right.
The whole purpose of their existence in their eyes. And think, I want to stop and think about that. That is scary.
No. And just now, go ahead. Yeah.
All of a sudden, they've got enough material for 11 missiles. Gee.
So we have to ask ourselves on that. Randy Taylor, how sure? Because we fell into this. We were bamboozled back in the day, right, with the aluminum tubes and the weapons of mass destruction, Colin Powell holding that. We got caught up in that, too. We were fooled. Shame on us. So that intelligence assessment, how sure are you that that is not propaganda? Go ahead.
This happened in Geneva with Qatar overseeing the talks. I mean, there was more than enough witnesses to this. I can probably pull it up.
Well, okay. So
it wasn't like it was a backroom deal. This whole thing was going on because we had to discuss the weapons. Let's see here.
Okay. All right. So let me grab this other part of I'm not sure, Eric the Tech, if we have this in the drive or not. Folks, you remember that, look, the CIA was responsible for the 1953 regime change in Iran. Okay, you know that. All right, they admitted as much. So we've had our grubby, nubby fingers involved in other countries' business, all right, for a long time. And then through the regime changes in 79, the Shah of Iran got sick. He was sick in the late 70s, 78, came to the U.S. for treatment. And, of course, that caused an international incident. And then Jimmy Carter was president. So people will think, okay, some backroom dealing. Now, folks, go back to 79 because, you got to understand. So important for everyone to understand this. One of the hostage takers in 1979, and we proved this beyond any doubt whatsoever during our research in 2002, 2003, and 2004, and actually received confirmation on this. One of the hostage takers was Ahmadinejad of Iran, the president of Iran, who was going to a university at the time and was involved in the assault on the embassies, plural, in Tehran in 1979. So understand what we're dealing with here. All right. Now, Jimmy Carter launched Desert One in order to rescue the hostages. It was just a sucky attempt. And everything that could have gone wrong went wrong because of piss poor planning in part. And then some bad luck was also involved, but primarily piss poor planning. All right. So how did the hostages, and again, this we serve to go a little bit intellectually deeper intellectually in depth than others. How did the hostages get released? Was it, because Reagan, big old Reagan, was coming on and he was going to blast the living crap out of everybody?
Is it an Algiers Accord?
That's right. Bada bing, bada bang. Algiers Accord. Now, folks, have you heard about that? Do you know about that? In the chat, feel free to chime in.
And I say it was in Geneva, and this is overseen by Oman, O-M-A-N.
Right. I had the notes on this. Okay, so
I'm talking about the deal with Iran.
So, again, this happened in advance of 1981. The U.S. had this agreement with Iran in the transition, or right as soon as President Reagan was elected, and then during the transition, they exercised they used as a template the 1975 Algiers Agreement as the template for the Algiers Accords that were formalized in 1981. And that was a framework of agreements that was signed when? The day before Reagan was inaugurated, on January 19th, 1981. It was mediated by the Democratic and Popular Republic of Algeria. Hence the name as well as the template. The accords resolved the hostage crisis. And what did we do? What did we offer to Iran? Well, under the agreement, the U.S. unfroze. It wasn't just because big old bad Reagan was coming and they're going to bomb Iran. We unfroze $8 billion, when a billion was a lot of money back then. $8 billion in Iranian assets held in third world country banks or third country banks. $8 billion. And also dismissed a number of claims, asset forfeitures, and other ancillary issues to the tune of about $3 billion. To resolve the dispute and let the hostages go. Now, does that make more sense? That kind of set the precedent, didn't it, for the Clinton wishy-washy stuff during his years, and also Obama hey, the pallets of cash, there was a precedent for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just not quite the way they did it, but you get the idea, right?
Yep.
Okay. So how do you go into now? So understand what Obama did as a Muslim. This is important to understand. Brennan, as a converted Muslim, how do you negotiate from a, how would President Trump, with the backdrop of the Algiers Accord, the everything else that happened during the Clinton, even the Bush years, both of them, dad and son, Obama, how do you, you cannot go into a negotiation from that level of weakness, right? You're not going to negotiate them out of a nuke or nuclear material. And you've all seen, folks, you've all seen pre-1979 Iran, right? You've all seen pictures of that. If you haven't, look, I'm not going to put pictures up, but the only women in on the planet right now that have a problem with what we're doing in Iran are the white liberal kooks.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Who they're protesting while the Iranian, true Persian women, Iranian women are celebrating. Okay. Enough of that. But I think the context behind all of this is important. So President Trump walked into a very weak position of negotiation. There's no negotiating. Number one, they're paving the way for the 12th Imam. And number two, there's a whole crap load of bad deals up to today.
And those talks wrapped up February 26th. So there's your timeline.
So, right. Now, Kenny Buzz, look, here's the deal with you in chat, okay? And I don't like to give... Okay, so here's the deal. Anyone in chat, and Kenny Buzz's include you. Look, you are absolutely allowed to have your opinion.
Oh,
okay, 100%. But the... And you are welcome to engage in intellectual dialogue about this. But when it crosses the line, don't do that. Or, you know, the constant nipping at one's heels, okay? Don't do that. And that goes for everybody. You make your point. If your case is strong enough, people will see the merits of your case and either be convinced or not be convinced. It doesn't take anyone to just constantly nip and nip and nip and nip and attempt to bastardize the meaning of, you're the one that asked, what's the definition of anti-Semitism? I told you, it has nothing to do with the nation state of Israel. Nothing. It's about the Jews as a religious people, the Jews as an ethnic people. And again, go back to the 700s, the 8th century AD, the first people, or the first group of the first rulers, the first rulers of countries to use that yellow star against Jews and Christians were the Muslims. That's where the Nazis got the idea for it.
Yep.
Right? And how did they, now let's just take it one step further. How did that happen? Obviously, they wanted to clean up the race. They wanted a pure Aryan race, right? But wait a second. How do we ever get to that point in the first place? How do we get to that discussion in the first place? How is that even possible that ordinary people of normal and rational sensibilities would sit around the table and say, look, we're gonna have to, the Jews as a people, we got to get rid of them. We have to eradicate them. At first it was, you know, move them. Then it was totally exterminate them. How do you go from getting up in the morning, having some coffee and just being disgruntled, you know, about things to wanting to wipe out an entire race, religious sect, or ethnic body.
Or political party.
And the Jews are not political. Okay.
That's what
well, yeah. yeah. But see, here's the other thing. If you study World War I, you got to go back to World War I to understand World War II. World War I and the Treaty of Versailles, to close that out, and what happened, the propaganda that started out much the same as it's starting out in the West really took hold over in Germany. I'm just saying. So when the Nazis captured Poland and other countries, that whole concept went into play. This is why I truly believe it's not just intellectual masturbation, or not, you know, it is absolutely dangerous to get involved in this kind of these are bad people. No. You can talk against Israel all day long. I don't care. You can talk against the Mossad all day. I don't care. But when you start talking about Jews as an ethnic sect, as a religion, and you start saying that, you know, no, it's they run the world, or when you blame them for the ills, that's exactly the path.
Yep. It's a dangerous path.
Yes. So that is why I believe what we're seeing today is a psychological operation to bring us back. And you know who's the biggest proponent? Who are the biggest proponents of this Jews bad? Where'd that come from all of a sudden? The equating Israel, nation state of Israel, to the Jewish people. Who did that? I'm asking. I don't know. But I think if we look close enough, I think you'll find, well, some foreign interests might have set that up. I think you'll find some others that set that up. By others, I'm talking about pretty well-heeled, monetized individuals. So, look, say what you will, okay? I just wanted to be clear on this because there is now it's the rubber's meeting the road. Yeah. Randy Taylor,
we went through a period of time where this kind of talk was coming primarily from Aryan Nation type group. Right. We were going through that. I'm going to say 20 years ago. It didn't get the traction that they wanted.
So, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned Aryan Nation, because the blacks, of course, as a population, were really demonized. Okay, is the subhuman, just like the Jews, the blacks, subhuman, gypsies, and all that. But okay, think about that today. What is the consequence and artifact of Black Lives Matter, of all of the really intelligence community backed organizations like BLM and all the other organizations that are deeply involved in anarchy today? Okay, this is happening. What's the byproduct? The byproduct is the blacks. Well, obviously, there's a dehumanization of the black population. There is this wild, absolute fringe that always push that black population, their misdeeds, to the forefront. That's not to say it's not happening. That's to say they want you to see what they want you to see. Okay? Because your belief about something drives your actions. That's really the hallmark of a psychological operation. So please understand this. Nothing said here is to defend Israel as a nation, to defend Mossad, defend Netanyahu, none of that. Nothing. I don't believe, however, that we're fighting their war. Do they benefit from it? 100% they benefit from it.
Yeah.
To you, sir.
No, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We're not fighting their war, though. We share a common enemy. That's just how it is. And
well, Saudi Arabia too.
Yes.
I mean, the Saudis benefit from eradicating the threat of Iran.
And you had people out here that were claiming that Mossad set bombs off in Saudi Arabia and this and that, and it's not true.
But it has happened in the past.
As in the past, but that doesn't make sense. People are operating on half information, and it's really starting to piss me off.
But then again, we fell victim of that as well. So just to be 100% transparent.
I mean, Doug, we went through the proper channels.
Right.
The way it came out. This is totally different. These are people that are just pulling it out of the air and throwing it out there. We didn't do that.
Okay.
Our stuff was legitimate as far as we knew, because we found it.
And at that level, when you have the intelligence community creating, crafting something and putting it out there as a seed, and it gets laundered through other outlets, sources,
yeah,
it appears legitimate. So at that level, and then, but you're not going to social media with it.
As far as the comparison, but these people on social media are just making this stuff up.
Right, right. So
if you notice, nobody sources anything anymore. If I put something like that on social media, I source it.
Exactly.
Put exactly where I got it from.
And for the love of everything that's holy, do not use Grok or ChatGPT. Stop with the AI crap, because it is so obvious that, you know, in some of these posts, it is so obvious that it is AI written and AI driven. Okay, just stop with it. Pick up a friggin' book.
And source your information.
If
you got it from Google AI, put Google AI in your post. I do. If that's where I got the information, because I want it made clear where it came from. Then I didn't just go, oh, I'm going to make this up and throw it out there. I don't do that. We got enough problems. There's enough hatred and enough division right now in the United States and around the world that we don't need to add to it. We do not need to add any more fuel to this fire.
See, we have a culture problem and a spiritual problem in this nation that allows us to fall victim, in my opinion, to this hatred, this misguided hatred, these because look, as a nation, Israel is responsible for, I think, more abortions per capita than any other place on the planet. Okay, per capita. They allow abortion right to, you know, I mean, even after birth. But then, what about the U.S.? Yeah, certainly. They do too. So we're, I mean, the Tel Aviv is the San Francisco of Israel. I understand that. They allow, I mean, it's culture rot.
I think a lot of it too, Doug, is in the past, if we said something, you or I, we had to source it. We had to source it. We couldn't just say, I mean, we could say, yeah, this is our opinion, because they would ask for our opinion. But if we were turning over information, we had to source it. If I pulled something out of a forum, I had to source it. I had to tell them where I got it.
Oh, every single, you had to source it five ways. Yeah.
He has to do it as a private investigator. It's got to, things have to be sourced. So that's our style. That's and all we know.
You want to get your titties in the ringer?
Well, that's how we came up.
Yeah.
But these social media influencers, they were never held to that standard. And they're certainly not doing it now. They're just making stuff up.
And we had an analyst that decided to put something into one of the videos from Bin Laden. Okay. And anyway, we turned that over, and all of a sudden I had a CIA officer sitting at my table saying, "Where'd you get this?"
I remember that.
And that discussion was perhaps one of the most awkward discussions I've ever had, because I had to say, okay, I got it from here. Where'd that person get it from?
He had altered the source.
Yeah. It came while that CIA officer was sitting at my table.
I felt so bad for you.
And I was getting my short hairs pulled out one by one.
Oh, God.
It was like, no, 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 because here is, you didn't source this, right? Here is the original, because we have the original. And here is what you gave us. Explain that, sir.
One of our people that we work with altered something. That's
yeah.
We would have.
So don't friggin' tell me, anyone that's listening or watching this, don't tell me that we haven't been through it, because we've been through it. And I'll tell you something. You do that one time. You make that mistake one time.
As a team.
Oh.
That was so embarrassing.
Embarrassing and
everybody comes under question at that point. You know, and we're all busting our hump to do the right thing. And one person, you know, did something wrong, and we all pay for it. But Doug,
where do you go to get your credibility back?
Yeah,
you see, we have the same thing with obviously when you deal with U.S. attorneys, when you deal with judges, when you deal with DAs, it would deal with police departments legitimately. Okay, man, you better be damn sure of your facts, because Now, you take some of these podcasters, broadcasters, influencers, whatever you want to call it. They're out there spouting all kinds of stuff. Okay. That's not what we do.
Source it.
That's not exactly. So, all right. So there's that. I think did we spend just way too much time on this, RT?
No, that's something that needs to be spoken about, because that is a problem that our listeners are dealing with in social media and with the media. So, no, that's the perfect thing to talk about. We also try and give everybody tools in case you want to argue the point with someone. We give those tools. So, things that you'll hear here, you could use in an argument or a debate. And that's why we make sure that it's accurate when we hand it to you. Because you may turn around and use it in a debate, and we don't want you to be embarrassed.
100% accurate. Let me pull up this. The other thing that I wanted to mention.
That is not the common thing in podcast land.
No, actually actually
we bust our
works backwards
for to make it. Sure yep. that we're telling you the truth. We don't press the most popular, that's for sure. Because we don't get those clicks, and people don't rush to our site to see it because it's the most outlandish thing, because it's crap. Okay? We don't want business that way. We don't want that business coming through the door.
It when we talk like this, or when we have a program like this, it hurts our numbers. It hurts our visibility. But frankly, I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm 100% okay with that.
I sleep good at night, though.
Yeah, I do as well. And you know what? I'm not at this point. I don't care if it's true. It's true. If it's not, it's not. And you know what? It's time that I think everyone needs to get some skin in the game, because right now, here's the current threat analysis based on everything I've been able to put together. All right. What is the key operating terrorist? Iran's key group. Terrorist group. What is their proxy that does their Iran outsources terrorism to a group known as Hezbollah. Okay. And Hezbollah was created right after the 83 bombings in Beirut. It was around that time. So the question is for listeners and viewers, what's the current threat here on American soil from Iran or Iran's proxies, or in general, the Muslims who are radicalized or intent on inflicting harm. I did not know this, but I grabbed a 2025 DHS threat assessment and also sourced it through the Counterterrorism Center and the Counterterrorism Center at West Point. To verify that since 2020, between 2020 and 2025, law enforcement, that's federal and state law enforcement, thwarted at least 17 Iranian-backed terror plots on American soil. 17. Do I know where they were? Yeah, kind of, sort of. But I can't say with great specificity because a lot of that is still classified. So the DHS National Terrorism Advisory System, which is NTAS, y'all know it as NTAS if you're in the CT business or IC business. Subsequent to the June 22nd hit on the Iranian missile sites, had said, look, Hezbollah, the Iranian proxies, and the lone wolf Muslim, they are intent, and we can verify this through our own surveillance, online surveillance, their intent on striking, conducting, for example, anything from a 9/11 style attack. And you've heard this before and so many times, and it's like, shut up, because how often are you going to say that? But that's what they want to do, or an October 7th style attack. And they want to hit the rural areas, R-U-R-A-L, all right? And it's interesting because, and I don't know why this is, but you've got Hezbollah terror cells operating in this country, and you can confirm this through DHS and through the FBI, actually through the Counterterrorism Association or a Counterterrorism Center. I'm not sure if that's open source or not, but there are confirmed Hezbollah cells that exist in Dearborn, Charlotte, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and all along the southern border. And a few now popping up along the northern border. The reason I mention this. Oh, and one more thing. Between 2021 and 2025, and you can source this by way of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, nearly 2,000 Iranian nationals were caught attempting to illegally come into this country. What was their disposition? Under Mayorkas and Biden, they were released into this country. And guess what? The estimated gotaways during that same period, 850,000. All right. So you ask what the terror threat is on American soil. There's some hard numbers, all backed by incredibly solid sources.
And you want to know something else?
Go ahead.
We had Iranian terror cells here before 9/11.
They've been here since the 80s.
Yeah. And that's no joke. This is a generational thing. This is an ideology that is bent on our destruction. Know it. Because when they strike, you guys noticed in Mexico when the cartel members went berserk down there.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I want you to stop. We've discussed this on this program before. I want you to stop and think about well-armed, okay, because they're in bed with the cartels, well-armed cells, Hezbollah, and Iranian cells, okay, that set out on a Monday morning and decide they're going to take over 10 cities. It's not that hard. Okay, because most of the people don't walk around in cities with AK-47s and grenade launchers.
It's not hard, especially when you have inside help.
It's not that hard. And that's what's coming. Soft targets, your kids' school, grandchildren's school, your church, where you shop, where you have your dinner with your wife. These soft targets. They're also going to hit military hard targets. But the soft targets, okay? You know, we're a sitting duck. We're an open society. They're already here. They've been in place, planning and training for decades and decades. stop and think about that.
Yep.
That is a scary thought, but that is real. I expect bloodshed. No matter what happens in Iran, yep. They're going to strike here. If we kick the shit out of Iran tomorrow, they're going to strike. If Iran drags this out for a year, they're going to strike. Know this. They're going to strike. We already know they're here.
Why are they here?
To make sure that the plan goes through.
No, I mean, why are they here?
Why did they get allowed in?
Yes.
Because we're a failure when it comes to screening people. And then you've got buttheads like Biden that just opened the border. I mean, at Eagle Pass, we saw the videos. The people were just pouring in like they were going to a rock concert. You know, and they're coming in and you saw how they were dressed. These were peasants struggling for a better life. These were military age, 18 to 35, wearing slacks, jeans, and polo shirts, carrying cell phones with nice shoes.
Didn't something happen as well in Texas?
This is an invading army, Doug.
Right. But I guess as well, over the weekend, wasn't there this stabbing in Texas that one person, but property of Allah, sweatshirt? Mm-hmm. Okay, now multiply that terror. It doesn't matter. Look, okay.
Terror
is terror, right. So multiply that.
I don't care if you're stabbing a little girl on a school bus, okay, or you're blowing up an airport. Terror is terror.
Kind of like statistics, you know, you can cite all the statistics you want, but until it happens to you, it's meaningless.
But what is terror? It's designed to drive a political point.
That's right.
Okay. Once again, Islam is a political system. Thank you. Thus the terror.
So I
save that religion bullshit. Okay. For the clowns.
Right. I really believe that we have to approach this whole thing with intellectual honesty and sobriety. Okay. And again, without falling into this PSYOP stuff and understand what we're fighting for, because it is the future of our nation. It, nothing more, nothing less. It's the future of our children. Now,
this is going to affect people.
And the other thing, though, I'm not saying that we should, you know, get cute. We should expand everything. I'm not saying we should, you know, let's go take down another country. No, I think this fight is righteous. I think the intent is righteous. But look, we just have to, sadly, we have to get our hands dirty. 46 years, we have to, or 47 years or whatever it is, we have to get our hands dirty now because others didn't.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, this is like if you're in a prison yard and you're in there and you're doing your time and somebody in the yard says, I am going to kill you tonight.
Yep.
Okay. That's a serious threat. And you know what? You have to deal with it because you're in prison. You're not getting away. You can't avoid this person. You're going to see them. They're going to see you. And this is what this is boiled down to. We found out they had enough. They even bragged that they had enough material for 11 missiles, 11 weapons. I'm sorry. You just put yourself in my strike zone because I know that you live. Your purpose on this earth is to get a missile and kill Americans, get a missile that'll hit North America. We know that. And if you were honest about this whole enrichment program, your things, all of your enrichment facilities wouldn't be underground.
That's true.
The rest of the world doesn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they're nothing but a series of lies from the word go.
And we're tunneled in the mountains.
And we know their mission. We know what they're living for. And then all of a sudden you're given the means, and we know now that you have the means because we made a mistake in our intelligence estimate. Ooh.
Was that really a mistake, or was that convenient?
I don't know. You know, Christy Noem saying that they didn't have a way. Remember the whole time when you and I were really hot and heavy in it, we used to tell them.
Let's clarify that statement now. People are going to get the wrong idea between
Iran was closer to a nuclear weapon than anybody ever thought they were. And you and I both told them.
Yeah.
Guys, they're closer than you think they are. They've had this technology longer than you're telling the public. You know, and when you see things and you hear things and you know things, and it's like, but then you sit there and listen to what the government's saying and they're lying to the people.
Yep.
Oh, man. We're talking about American lives here. You know what I mean? We're not talking about a house burning down. We're talking about millions of people killed. Millions. You know, and if you're looking around and listening to social media, the Iranian people that are on there, even though their own countrymen are accidentally being killed, they are thrilled that we're doing this because the government of the Ayatollahs were murdering thousands of them a day. Murdering them.
Yes, and let's not forget the Christians in Iran.
Yes. They're not all Muslims, and people need to understand that. There's only a percentage of Iran is Muslims. There's a lot of them that lay claim to no religion.
Right.
Atheist.
And you know, we have...
Interesting makeup.
We have film after film after film, sickening films from Iran, where women get taken by the regime in Iran. And of course, they're young enough where, you know, they're not sexually active. And before they get stoned or before they get killed, they're raped. Okay. The reason, of course, is rooted in their belief system. And because, hey, you know what? They, the victims here, will not go to heaven. And this is kind of punishment for the afterlife. Again, you're not dealing with a rational entity. Just understand this. So all things considered,
aren't understanding. And right. We're not talking about the Iranian people. There's a separation there. You have the Iranian people, and then you've got this Ayatollah regime. Okay, with the police and the Revolutionary Guard. You got to understand that, people. Nobody that I know, nobody that I talk to has an issue with the Iranian people. You realize that we've been working, our intelligence agencies and all, have been working with the Iranian people for years and years and years, trying to figure out how to overthrow these people from the inside.
Yes.
And meanwhile, on the outside and what the world sees, we've got a nuclear problem.
Yes.
You understand that? We're not bombing cities, man. We're bombing military facilities. And we did bomb where they all got together to decide who was going to be the next supreme leader.
Yeah, that lasted about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But still.
Good job on that meeting.
So our intelligence, as a nation, our intelligence appears pretty damn good. So far, all right.
Because we got a lot of help on the inside.
And the nation state of Israel, through their intelligence, has provided some pretty dead nuts accurate information. But understand, again, we have to really delineate because of this wild, rabid anti-Semitism, this Jew hatred. I'm telling you, this is a thing, and it's not going to be long before you're going to see we're going to follow the same path. If we keep going like this, perhaps unwittingly, or maybe this is not the intent of those pushing this whole anti-Israel thing, you're going to follow down the same paths as we did during World War II, as the Germans did during World War II. So I'm saying, You fall for the propaganda. You make the lie big enough.
Claiming excuse for all our problems is not the answer.
Right.
That's an easy scapegoat.
Are there Jews in positions of power that shouldn't be? Abso-friggin-lutely. Do we have a problem with dual citizenship? You bet your ass we do. So, yes, I'm not. Look, I 100% stop it. You should not be you should not have dual citizenship with any other country if you're in office. Stop it. Are you getting funded by AIPAC and you know, the Jewish lobbies? Stop it. Okay. Divest yourself from all of that. Absolutely. Stop it. So I'm again, we have to be precise, but one more thing. There's a thing called the red flag of revenge. And I've been seeing this all over the place on different forums. Now, the red flag of revenge is isolated to Iran, but specifically the Shia population of Muslims. That has been raised. Has it been raised in the past? Yeah, but not that often. And what that means is if you are a Muslim, wherever you live, wherever you're at, you go out there and you kill the non-Muslim. And even if it kills you, kill the non-Muslim or die trying. Eric the Tech, I sent you an image of the red flag of revenge. And do you know what I saw? I saw one of these anti-US, anti-war, if you will, whatever you call those protests. One of these flags.
Yep.
There it is. The red flag of revenge.
And this is another reason why anybody that says Islam is a religion, you're drunk. Okay? No religion operates in this manner. None. There's not a religion out there that operates in this manner. These people are insane. All of them. And the ones that are puppy dogs, flowers and puppy dogs Muslims, they're not devout Muslims. They don't even understand what they're worshiping. I'm not joking. They only know what the imam tells them. They can't read that book in their hand. Ask them.
Randy Taylor, then explain. Ask
them to quote you some verses.
Well, and we have some of those. I can toss those in. But help me. Okay, so you have in this country right now, and I don't believe in coincidence, and this is not by accident, you have Rashida Tlaib, you've got Ilhan Omar, you've got a number of Muslims in the state legislatures, you've got a number of Muslims in Congress right now. Again, just named a couple.
Rashida Tlaib should be in jail, that bitch.
Right. You got New York mayor.
That's very unprofessional. She is pig's work.
So who are these people aligned with or being funded by? These pro or anti-American, pro Ayatollah, because I can't think of any other way of describing it, protests.
They're actually funded from different organizations
that
have nothing to do with Islam.
I got the list. Democratic Socialists of America. Okay. Answer. Code Pink. Indivisible. People's Forum.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
See, and that's one thing you find in this whole strategy of tension. There's no set design, but they're all striving for the same thing, which is chaos. And that's what they want. They want tension. They want tension. You create tension. They did that in 1917 before Russia fell. That's where this came from, this strategy of tension. And you know what? We talked heavily about this about 2 years ago when we had the daytime show.
Yes.
Before daytime. I also noticed that they went in and changed a lot of what it said about strategy of tension in Wikipedia.
I will say this. If you don't... This is the danger of these. Wikipedia is perhaps one of the least credible, most mismanaged sources.
You know why? It's edited by just people.
Right, right.
You don't have to have any bona fide credentials to go into Wikipedia. I remember Wikipedia, my first parlay with them, they were slamming Doug about something. About his old Northeast Intelligence Network.
Oh, yeah.
I actually went into Wikipedia and cleaned it up. But that lets you know I don't have the credentials. But I went in and cleaned it up, and it stuck. And that, I mean, that just gives you an idea. Anybody can go in there and type anything they want. Yep. You know about Wikipedia, about the only thing it's good for? When somebody was born, when they died, and what they died of.
And even that, you better triple check.
That's questionable, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Now, all right, so we've gone through all of that. So is there a threat here in the U.S.? 100% there is. And the various locations I mentioned, okay, that have Hezbollah cells operating, they are primarily, now just understand this, how are they making their money? Now, Iran funds them. However, they also operate with cartels and, like organized crime, their income is derived from credit card fraud, from fraud in general, from counterfeit merchandise, from counterfeiting, and from cigarette smuggling, drug smuggling.
Cigarette smuggling is big. Yes.
Big time. Uh-huh. Yep.
And convenience stores, you look around, who owns the convenience stores?
There you go.
The Middle Easterners. And they're all in it up to their eyeballs.
That's right. So, okay. So I think we expended enough energy on this. Again, folks, understand that we are looking at this psychological operation. One thing I wanted to play, Eric the Tech, if you can grab this from my bookmarks, okay? All right, Chase Hughes, because there are a lot of other things to talk about. Let me see here. Maybe it's not. Maybe I didn't bookmark this, and maybe I did. Hold on. Well, I'll tell you what. In the meantime, have you heard Victor Davis Hanson, talking about Ilhan Omar? This has got to come to a head.
Yeah.
All right, in my bookmarks, if you scroll down, Eric the Tech, you'll see the video of Victor Davis Hanson. Now, he appeared on our show for about 15 minutes until he got tired of us. But anyway, he did. He was really good. This is back a number of years ago. And he really, home run. But he is an intellectual of today. Pay attention when he talks. Eric the Tech, you have that or no? Yesterday, I think March 2nd, this would be, several down, 2, 3, 4, I don't know. Keep going down. You'll see a picture of Victor Davis Hanson, a still. And then go ahead and run that. It's very, very worthy of your attention because I do have, while that's going on, I do have something else I'm looking for and I want to play. And then sadly, I didn't have time for today, which that happens because I spent, folks, 9 hours watching Bill and Hillary Clinton in their depositions, 9 flipping hours. So by the time I got done with that, my head was like, it was like I went through a blender or a car wash with the top down. Okay. Wow. Folks, did you see that?
Need duct tape for your head.
No, I mean, yes. Yeah, it was horrible. Okay. Oh, man. But I will say this, and Eric, just yell when you have it ready. I'll say this about the depositions. When you watch both Bill and Hillary, and I posted this on my X account, especially with Bill Clinton, and as a matter of fact, Eric the Tech, go ahead and put the on my timeline. You should see the posts of Bill and Hillary. Okay, so you don't have to dig for the other one. That one is earlier today. I spent pretty much the entire night watching these videos. The Bill and Hill Clinton Epstein depositions, I'm telling you right now, they're going to be used. Thank you. they will be used in future coursework for nonverbal communications, teaching body language analysis, and deception clues. I'm telling you, 100%. You know, you've had really decades of a baseline behavior of both Bill and Hillary Clinton from their public office. So it's easier, I should say, to grab deception cues once you have an established baseline. Let me tell you something. I also sent you a link, and I think this would be worthy to go. And this is important because a lot of people are saying, well, all of this, everything that's happening is because of the Epstein files, the timing of Iran. Oh, it's because Epstein. Well, shit, man. Okay, come on. Look, he can't. Is it maybe? I don't know. But for crying out loud.
Raskin and Ted Lieu seem to think that Trump was raping children in videos. They're claiming they have videos of it.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering, okay, then why has nobody done anything? Why is this coming out now after this attack on Iran? Why?
It's kind of like a double-edged sword, Randy Taylor. You can use, okay, Iran is a distraction for the Epstein file revelations, and then, well, wait a second, is it? And you know, there's this circular logic. Somebody sent me a book, and whoever it was, I have the name. It's called The Fallacy Detective, and it was a great book. It's on my bookshelf. I let me tell you something, okay? There are so many people who are so easily dragged in and stuff. And I have to say this, after 9 hours of the depositions and my brain being fried, somebody had posted this exquisite, exquisite satire. Oh, man. I mean, this was like 5 pages long. And I was reading this and I got sucked into this like big time. I'm thinking, this has to be a joke. It had to do with the fraud in Minnesota. It has to be a joke. But it was so well done. And I was so brain fried. I got sucked in. So I reposted and said, this is a joke, right? Thinking it has to be. But then I got to thinking, oh, no, man. I mean, folks, you got to be careful. So I would have been okay had I left that alone. Oh, it's just no. I couldn't leave it alone. I had to say, I had to make a comment about it. All right. Then I thought, oh man, I got sucked into this. So it still happens. We just have to be careful. But you know, I got to thinking about this, Randy Taylor. That's the difference between responding and reacting.
Yep.
It's a big difference. So in the Islam prophecy email I sent to you, Eric the Tech, is the link to Hillary Clinton. If you go to 2 hours and 30 minutes, why I know this, there's that vein again. Got to pop that back in. Okay, so let me know when it's queued up. Okay, at 2 hours and 30 minutes. Hillary, okay, folks, in case you missed this, okay, let me set this up, RT, and I want your comment on the other side, because our side sometimes, not always, but sometimes doesn't play nice. All right. Go ahead. Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, the thing to quote Biden. So the best I could tell, Lauren Boebert, during the depositions happened last week, right? They were going to be made public, but there was this buffer time before they were going to be made public through the GOP oversight. Well, now, and this again, this is why, please understand, there is a place and a reason why some social media influencers exist. and why they're suddenly so popular. Lauren Boebert took a photograph of Hillary Clinton during the deposition. Now, let me tell you something, okay? If anyone who's ever been involved in depositions, and I can't count how many, it's, you know, that's, that ain't cool. That's just not cool. All right? Ain't cool to get your picture taken. And I'm not sticking up for Hillary. But, come on now. But what's worse is, the best I can tell now, this is what I kind of pieced together. She leaked it to Benny Johnson. So what does Benny Johnson do? What he's supposed to do? He posted it on X and said, look, here's Hillary Clinton. Now, folks, okay, first of all, not cool.
Especially why? When the rules of the hearing were behind closed doors.
Correct. So ask yourself, why? Why did that happen? Because that video was going to be made public anyway. Why did that happen? What was the reason behind that?
Sensationalism.
That's part of it. But I'll tell you the other thing. If you ever, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to roll the tape from 2 hours and 30 minutes. Roll the tape, right? Yeah, roll the, start the video. And let's just watch. I think, I don't think we have to back up or go forward. I think this is about right. 2:30. Go ahead.
Dollars to your campaign?
My understanding of the rules back then is that there was no coordination between the committee and the campaign. So, no, I have no recollection.
But that doesn't mean you can't speak to your donors. That doesn't prohibit, the law does not prohibit you speaking to
your
donors.
But I didn't know he was a donor. As far as I knew, he was not a donor until I learned this in preparation for the testimony.
Did it concern you at all that Ghislaine Maxwell was heavily involved with people you knew and were close to?
I knew people that I knew her. Yes, that's true.
And you didn't, you just shrugged, you didn't want to look into it or
nobody,
have any question about
it? Until her crimes were revealed and she was indicted and tried and convicted, I don't think people knew very much about at all what
she
was
doing.
And
how do you know Howard Lutnick?
I know Howard Lutnick because when I was senator on 9/11, the firm he headed, Cantor Fitzgerald, suffered the greatest loss of life. As I recall, something like 650 of his employees were murdered by terrorists that day. Howard Lutnick missed being a victim because he was delayed dropping his child off to kindergarten. You asked the question. I'm going to answer your question.
Now you're going to
yell at me? Was what I spent my time doing.
I'm a survivor trying to look out for other survivors.
And I was taking care of the people who lost 3,000 lives.
And now you're being defiant and indignant today.
You asked me about Howard Lutnick.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if you
used
have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein
question?
And
what's
his people to raise money for
I don't
you
know about
for an event, an intimate event for you at his offices
well,
at Cantor Fitzgerald. You're going to sit here today
and obfuscate
and say to this committee, you didn't try to get money from Jeffrey Epstein when
I
there
didn't.
Was an intimate event in an email that Howard Lutnick emailed to Epstein's people and Epstein to get him to come to your intimate event at Cantor Fitzgerald, a very small event. And so I'm not going to put, you want to yell at me, that's fine, but I'll yell right back.
Well,
okay? I am looking out for survivors. I'm doing the job that you would not do and refuse to do as Secretary of State. Thank you, and I yield back to
I'm going to finish answering the question, which I have a right to do. I am very sympathetic to your personal situation. I have read about it. I have seen you testify or speak on the floor about it. And I very much sympathize with not only what you went through, but appreciate your effort to stand up for survivors. I was a senator representing the people who were murdered on 9/11. Nobody lost more people than Howard Lutnick. You can say whatever you want. You can call him and have him appear before the committee.
I knew him
as the man who lost the employees that he knew intimately, including his brother.
And he was
so
a
I work.
Let her finish her answer,
money
please.
For you.
Let her finish her answer.
You know what? If you don't want to hear what emotionally affected me, that's fine. But that's why I know Howard Lutnick. I went to the memorial service every 9/11 after the formal service was held.
I see what you're doing
with all,
here, and you're obfuscating
with all
from
of
the questions.
His people, the family,
all right,
and Jeffrey
all right.
Epstein raising money.
All right. I apparently RT, if you want to comment on that, Eric the Tech, I so apologize for doing this. I sent you two emails just now. The second email has the impact of that photograph. Now, starting at 2 hours and 30 minutes into the deposition, that addressed a number of things. Epstein, 9/11, Howard Lutnick, and certain relationships involving Epstein, New York senatorial campaign, and even touched, if you squint a little bit and go on further, Benghazi. Okay. Now, I asked a question earlier about the picture. What's the quickest way to really F up a deposition, a cooperative witness? That's to, especially with divas like Hillary, that's to break the rules. My thinking on this is this was a coordinated effort to get her to get Clinton to
lose her temper.
Well, that and walk away. In my view, this was done to avoid getting at certain revelations. Okay. I'll just put a period there. Folks, you can work that out mentally. Now, the second email I sent to you, this is the moment that Hillary Clinton was informed that a photograph was posted on social media of her. Now, again, understand the process of depositions, why they're there, for what, you know, they're trying to get information.
Who was questioning her at that?
That was Boebert.
Boebert, okay.
Right. Which, again, interesting line of questioning. I believe that, well, I'll just put a period there. Very interesting line of questioning. Folks, if you haven't, you can watch that segment. And some of these people have highlights and stuff. Okay, great. You can watch highlights. Like this is a highlight. When she found out there was a photograph floating around on social media. Go ahead and play that when you're ready, Eric the Tech.
Can you please advise me as to whether or not that's permissible and consistent with the rules, particularly given that we have asked for a public hearing? If there are photos that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying, can you please explain how that
I'm done occur? With this. If you guys are doing that, I am done. You can hold me in contempt from now until the cows come home. This is just typical behavior.
I will go off the record.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah,
so
well...
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah, I'd
like to have
I'm done for now.
Not exactly fostering goodwill, not that anyone would really want to with that beast, but I'm just saying, if you want to F up a deposition very quickly, do stuff like that. Just keep going. So again, I ask motive. Was it to sensationalize the thing? No, not in my belief, because there are other ways to do that. I'm just saying.
You think Boebert was doing that on purpose?
100%. I think this was to
get that reaction so she would get up and walk out, or to get her to lock up, or what?
My working hypothesis is if this was not an intent to destabilize her, okay, then this was an intent, it had a more nefarious intent that involved not getting at the truth, giving her the moral high ground to not.
So you think both are wrong?
I don't know. All I know is I'm not happy with this because, again.
I thought maybe she was pushing her to get her to explode like she did with the Benghazi hearings.
Well, I guess that would be in the top five of the running, but there's easier ways to do that. So you have to ask yourself, now I'm not trying to see connecting lines where there are none, but again, this is a pretty significant, you're talking about the deposition. I mean, they were arguing, there was meetings about what kind of microphone they were going to use. Okay. You got to understand how these things go. You're not dealing with normal people. I'm just telling you.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
All right.
Clinton, normal is not a word I would use to describe her.
Yeah. And you know, another day, we can go through the deceptive clues. I mean, again, content rich, just full of deception. But you know what? You would expect that, right? Bill Clinton, I mean, the master orator that he was and still is, how he charms people and gets people. He's a master at that. You look, the guy might be a bad guy, you know, a horn dog and all that, but you got to give him credit for being. But there were a couple of times, man, when woof, you could tell he was shaken by the questions.
He was getting his ears pinned back. I seem more interested in keeping his hands on those pitchers.
That's another thing. Yes, 100%.
What's that about?
Well, you know, some people just like trophies and souvenirs.
Right? I guess, because that's what it seemed like when his attorney took the pitchers away.
Yeah, they were having like a wrestling match here.
Yeah.
All right. One more thing, RT, I want to get your take on this. The other email I sent, Chase Hughes, which I just have a lot of admiration for. Again, he teaches interview, interrogation. I mean, if you're involved in law enforcement, if you're involved in the intelligence community, whatever level, if you interview people, you've probably taken courses like the Reed technique, learned that, or numerous other techniques or other profiling courses. I'm sure Chase Hughes would have been a fixture in some of those, or at least behind some of those. So this is the guy that recognizes PSYOPs, because actually he was behind a lot of them in his relatively young life so far. When I say relatively young, anyone younger than me is young. Watch this. I'm telling you what, a dozen lifetimes. And so, but RT, I want your take on this. Okay. Watch this. We're not going to play the whole thing, but at least the first few minutes of this. This is so important because he speaks to what's happening today in the course of propaganda, in the course of this reality or false reality or the created reality, what our perception is and what we are seeing, what we're forced to see. Well, just watch and listen. Here it is.
Think Iran has always looked like this? I want you to pause for a second, because that belief didn't come from history. It came from just a bunch of repetition. There are people that are alive right now who grew up in Iran wearing jeans, listening to Western music, going to universities, falling in love openly, and then they watch their entire country just snap into something unrecognizable. And I think the part that most people miss is that Iran didn't evolve into this. It was taken. I've done several deployments across the Middle East, and you don't survive that without learning one critical distinction that I think all the headlines just completely erase, and the difference between a people and the system that cages the people. That's a big distinction I want to make right here, and this applies to all countries. But what you're seeing right now, the protests in Iran, the crackdowns, the silence when all the internet went dark the other day, that looks like chaos, that is memory colliding with fear, and I want to prove it to you. And once you understand how that collision happens, I think you're going to realize Iran is not an exception. Iran is a preview for the rest of the world. So what we're going to talk about is not a big story about religion. It's not even a story specifically about Iran. This is a story about how any modern educated civilization gets psychologically hijacked without realizing it until it's way too late. And by the end of this, you're going to see exactly where the takeover happened and the three paths that Iran is likely to take here in the next few months. In the 1960s and 70s, Iran was secular. They were educated and they were culturally just alive. Tehran looked more like a European capital than a caricature of the Middle East. Women in Iran were doctors and lawyers and professors, and universities there were world class. So art and music and science were all just thriving in Iran. This was not a primitive society that was just waiting for someone to modernize them. They were already modern. And that detail matters a lot because it destroys a very convenient myth to the media. This idea that Iran's current state, where they're at right now, is some natural expression of Iran's culture. It is not. So what happened to Iran wasn't some cultural evolution. It was complete takeover, like an interruption. So first, the Shah, this is Mohammad Reza Shah, ruled with a lot of Western countries backing him, lots of oil money, and he got increasingly authoritarian, and corruption started growing, as it always does, even here in our country. All the dissent was crushed, and people started getting very, very resentful over time. And into that little pressure, and maybe in that void, this guy steps up that most people outside Iran still don't fully understand. And this is Ayatollah Khomeini. He is a cleric who's living in exile, and he didn't sell himself to everybody as some tyrant, but he wore this costume of being a liberator. So the revolution that happened in 1979 was not sold as religious extremism. It was sold as a moral cleansing. We need to morally cleanse the country. We need more justice. We need independence. It was sold as independence. And that was the first big psychological trap. And this is how civilizations get hijacked. All these revolutions that you see, it's not overthrowing power. What's really being shifted is who is allowed to use violence. That's the only thing that shifts. If you look back at this, who is allowed to use violence? That's every revolution. So once the Shah fell, the Islamic Republic didn't emerge overnight. It consolidated, and it was a slow, pretty methodical process. And the biggest leverage that they had was belief. They didn't use religion as a weapon. They used fear. So it was fear being used here, not religion. Then it was a fear of, I'm going to be outcast. I'm going to be looked down on or judged. I'm going to be labeled immoral. I'm going to be on the wrong side of history. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be lonely. So all these little new public rituals became compliance tests. And then speech became dangerous. Silence was a new way to just survive what was going on. So once belief becomes mandatory, truth becomes a liability. And that's the quote that you can write down for all PSYOPs. If belief becomes mandatory, truth is a liability. So the Iran-Iraq war hardened everything like crazy. All kinds of sanctions came after this. The economy strained. Surveillance got just ridiculously normalized. And informants, like people just telling on their neighbors, that just became ordinary. So an entire generation grew up knowing exactly what not to say, how to stay silent. And another grew up knowing nothing else. And here's the part that I think most people outside miss. This system that we're talking about in Iran didn't survive because all the people believed in the system. It survived because people learned how to live inside it, and they just treated it like it was a normal way, and suffering became just this thing that we go through in life. And stop that right works there. Go ahead, until stop it right doesn't. There. And you.
All right. Folks, I'll put the link at Hagmann PI. Watch the entire thing. I don't want to take anything away from him, his views and such, okay? It is well worth it because consider, again, what we opened with, the conversations, the forced conversations about Jews, the anti-Semitic comments, the forced beliefs. Think, if you want to see a microcosm of somewhat of what's going on, remember, 9/11 was, what, 25 years ago? Look at New York City today. Look at New York City under Giuliani versus New York City today. 25 years. It went from a thriving commerce, rich and commerce, thriving city. It had its problems, obviously, to what we're seeing today, a Muslim communist mayor. Apply everything that he said to the argument or to this psyop of anti-Semitism, the Jews are responsible for all ills. Forget Israel. Forget that. Think about the corruption that has been exposed, but remains, there's no accountability. Think about the fear. Think about the self-censorship, which Randy Taylor and I've been beating on this drum, the self-censorship that's going on. You can't type rape. You can't type murder. The algorithms, they won't like you.
In Canada, they've got the fear.
Go ahead.
Because people that do speak against the government amazingly end up in jail. This isn't what's supposed to be a democracy. And they're trying to pass bills right now in Canada where if you speak out against the government or you say something they don't like, they can take away your internet service. Stop and think about that. So people are starting to live in fear. They'd love to speak out against the government, but they're afraid to. So that fear, they just get quiet and they just go along. And that's what Doug's talking about. This is what happens. And this happens in a lot of countries. Not just Iran, it's just very extreme there. But that's just explaining Iran from 1979 to present day. And to watch it change. Iran, them taking the hostages was the reason I joined the military. That was the exact reason I signed up. I wanted to go get our people back. I was very idealistic, 17-year-old.
You're younger than me.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
but folks, I mean, I hopefully this got your juices running a little bit in terms of thinking about the path that we're on right now. And it's moments like this, I believe, defining moments where we have, go back just a few years ago when the Biden regime wanted to institute the Ministry of Truth, right? Think about that. Think about how strong hand of censorship. Oh, man, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. COVID, you could, oh my gosh, jabs, you can't talk about alternative treatments. Isn't it funny?
Oh, the doctors were terrified to speak up. Licenses were being pulled.
And they still are.
Yeah.
So isn't it funny that all of this happened under the left, by the left? This is all done through this communist / Marxist / democratic socialist / Islamic friendly regime. And here we are. Just saying.
And you notice the left, they support all the bad guys.
Yeah.
You kill a bad guy, they're upset about it. They're not upset about Americans being killed. They're sure upset about enemies of America being killed. The left is not for America in any way, shape,